If it smells like shit, you are in the right place. You are listening to The Prodwackers, hosted by David and Craig. Enjoy.
That's how I feel after the old NBA finals here.
Yeah, you and me both.
Oh, man. I don't know what the hell. So, I mean, we were talking a little bit before we got started officially, but, you know, last week I said I thought we'd get swept, and then we played game one, and god damn it, we were so close. And then all of a sudden, here we are, game four, swept out of the finals. No surprise there.
Yeah. So, we're going to have to wait all summer to see if LeBron got swept right out of Cleveland.
Man, I don't know. I have some mixed feelings on this. I think the key to him being in Cleveland still at the end of all of this is what flexibility they actually have financially to bring other people here, right? And so if they have the ability to grab other guys that, like, you know, by maneuvering some deals and this and that stuff that, you know, LeBron's probably privy to, he might stay, but I don't really know how that's all going to shake out on the back end. I haven't paid enough attention to know, unfortunately.
Yeah. The thing that sucks is, in my opinion, the only person that has any trade stock value is Kevin Love, outside of the Cavs and outside of the Cavaliers with LeBron James. Well, all these other guys that got signed to decent contracts, nobody's going to want them in a one-off situation.
Well, that's sort of true. Rodney Hood has some value, you know, maybe not a lot, but I do think there's probably a couple teams that would take him, because he was good before he came to us, and then he sucked when he got here. And then you've got, what's his face? George Hill.
Yeah.
He wasn't too bad. That's the thing, though, about the NBA. If you notice, like, they take, like, the shittiest trades will go down for some reason. And, like, you'll see a team just swap players like crazy. Like, do you remember when we traded away, like, a bunch of people just when LeBron got here? Like, they took a bunch of chumps and took them. And, like, and the same thing at the trade deadline this year. They took a bunch of our chumps and got rid of them. So, I don't know. Anything's possible. That's the thing, like, I really hate about this time of year for the NBA is, like, everyone tries to speculate what's going to happen. But the problem is you can't, because there's only five players on the team that really matter. I mean, your bench matters, but, like, you've got your starting five. It's only five guys, and the salary cap's ridiculous. So it's really easy for them to swing deals and move people around and change your whole team. You move two players and get one back, and the one back is a superstar. I mean, that just changes the complexion of your team.
Mm-hmm.
So bigger than any other sport, you know, one player makes such a big difference, right? So, like, say, for instance, the hypothetically, I saw this really ridiculous rumor going around, but, like, just say, what if LeBron joined the Warriors?
Mm-hmm.
That all that required the Warriors to do in that scenario was re-sign Kevin Durant, already, keep Steph Curry, get rid of Draymond and Klay. So they give up Draymond and Klay for LeBron and have Steph and KD. That was, like, a theory going around. But, you know, shit like that could happen. So that would make them, I mean, you don't even play the season, right? If you've got KD, Steph, and LeBron on the same team. You know, so I guess my point is, like, it's just pretty, you know, quote-unquote easy for them to manipulate a roster real fast. I mean, in Miami, too. Remember when he went to Miami? Like, they had Dwayne Wade. Cool. Then they end up with Ray Allen, LeBron James, and Chris Bosh on top of that. So, it's fairly easy for them to reconstruct a roster if they got some people who'll do the dance with them, and it's not Boston raking you over the coals.
Yeah, right. I think they need, if they're going to keep LeBron, they need to do a top down clean out. I made a comment like that on similar to that on Twitter yesterday, mm-hmm. even before the last. Before the last game had started, clean slate. Kevin Love, get what you can for him. J.R. Smith doesn't know how to play defense, doesn't know what the score of the game is in game one.
Right.
You're out of here. Kyle Korver, you can't play against the Warriors. He's great on other in other series, but the Warriors have his number.
Mm-hmm.
See, dude, you're too old. You're a great shooter, but time to go.
Yeah.
Tristan Thompson, see ya.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's time. They got old fast, you know. That's the problem when LeBron gets here. He doesn't like the younger players because you got to bring them along, right? And he's way past that point. So then you start shaping your roster with a bunch of older players, and then you quickly age. And you age your way right out of the finals.
Yeah, I think the only two guys that I would maintain on the roster, that's probably why I'm not a general manager in the NBA, but it would be LeBron, obviously. Give him what he wants. Give him what he wants to stay, and let him have at least 75% of a voice on who he wants to bring in.
Right.
I would keep Larry Nance Jr., and I would keep George Hill. Everybody else, peace out.
Yeah. I don't think that's ridiculous. I would consider keeping Tristan. I think he's solid off the bench. And he was able to guard all five positions pretty well for a while.
Yeah.
So I might keep him around. Everybody else, yeah, you're right. The rest of them can go. I would consider, or I definitely would probably trade Kevin Love. He's not good enough to be LeBron's sidekick. He puts up good numbers. He's a solid player. I really like him. You know, I have no ill will with Kevin for me, but I would consider, you know, getting rid of him at this point because he's way too streaky and unreliable in the big games.
Right. Down the stretch, I don't think he produced enough to stay around. Just my opinion, but I mean, he has value. He has that emotional value where he's not afraid to. He's obviously not afraid to get in there and argue with Draymond Green and some of those other jack wagons. So
yeah. I mean, I don't disagree. I mean, you got to reflect back on this season and look at where it started and then where it ended. And you know, I'm kind of sad that they did trade Dwayne Wade away. I think he would have been a huge asset to us in the playoffs. So I still was confused when they did that, like why they sent him back to Miami. Yeah. Maybe he just wanted to go, which is fine, but it would have been nice to have him here, especially with some of the younger guys and help leading the second unit.
Right.
I don't know. Like, you watch Ty Lue, he couldn't keep a lineup together for more than 20 minutes. I mean, he was switching lineups constantly. He never knew what to do. He was making poor decisions the games that he didn't start. Remember when he didn't play Korver in the Boston series because Boston didn't play one of their like ninth stringers as a mismatch? And it was like the game before Korver went off. And it's like, dude, you've got to try something. And that game they lost, I believe, right? And so it was like, what were you doing? It's not like you were up by 20 and didn't play Korver. It was like he was one of your hottest shooters helping LeBron, and you don't give LeBron the support that he needs. So along with the rest of those players, get Ty Lue the fuck out of here.
Yeah. See you, Ty Lue.
Peace out.
Give me a hell yeah.
Yeah, exactly. See ya. If I would have been Dan Gilbert, I'd have been standing there on the sideline at the press conference with the pink slip in my hand for Ty Lue.
Well, Gilbert's not much better. I mean, he fucking shipped Griffin out of here, the GM. Like, I still don't understand that. That was just beyond me. Like, Griffin turned this team around, shaped him into a championship roster, and then he's up for negotiation on a salary and decides that he's just not going to keep him around. I think it was over how to handle Kyrie Irving is what ultimately was the straw that broke the camel's back on that thing, if I remember correctly. But guess what? You guys got fleeced on that deal. So, yeah. Oh, man. And then they don't, I mean, it was so short-sighted, too. It was like if you're going to get rid of Griffin over this Kyrie deal, what's that going to do to LeBron? Because LeBron and Griffin were supposedly tight. I mean, all this stuff is speculation, right? Like, no one really knows the ins and outs of how this stuff is actually going and how they're being received and how their relationships actually are. But all things considered, the way things were reported was LeBron really liked Griffin.
Yeah, and I've read the same things. And that's why a lot of the speculation is that if Griffin goes to Philadelphia, LeBron will follow him there. So
I don't know. He might. He might. I wouldn't be surprised if he stayed, though, either. I almost feel like he... Like I said, if there's more to... If there's flexibility there to bring in guys that LeBron really wants, and LeBron feels like he can get them here, I don't see any reason why he walks, because he is, like... I mean, he has the keys to the kingdom here, and he always has. He had it when he started, and he still does. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I'd be pretty shocked if, you know, if we had the flexibility to bring in guys and do stuff, if he would leave. You know, it's home here for him. But mm-hmm. at the same time, I can see him. I can also see him leaving, because it's like, man, this is kind of a cluster F, and you know, there's probably a lot more to the story behind the scenes than we even know. But the effort LeBron was giving, I don't know if it was just a personal effort because he's trying to get some accolades here at the last, you know, back nine of his career. But it was nothing like when he left in 2010.
No, not at all. And you said, you know, behind the scenes and what we don't know. I mean, you told me right before we got on the recording something I had not heard at all. I mean, I don't know if anybody knew it until after the press conference last night, but you go ahead and share what you shared with me before we recorded.
Yeah, so I, full disclosure, I did not watch the game last night. I went to bed because I knew it was over. So I hopped on this morning and I was doing some research while Craig was sleeping in. And I found LeBron had a busted up hand. He said it was almost broken. It was his words, nearly broken. And he didn't tell anybody because he didn't want the Warriors to know about it. So that just goes to show you the effort that he was putting in here at the end. He punched a whiteboard after game one when they lost. And I do not blame him. I wish he would have punched JR in the face instead, but that didn't happen. I don't know. It's just... Man, that guy, he's such an incredible athlete, and he's a force, man. He's playing with a broken hand or nearly broken hand. It's all banged up, and going out there and doing what he was doing. Not to mention the fact that he got his eye gouged out by Draymond Green game one. You know, it was spectacular, and I just appreciate what he did when he came back. What did you think about, like, what's your take on when he left the first time versus when he came back? How did you feel about him leaving, and how did you feel about him when he came back?
I mean, the first time when he left, obviously I was very upset because I watched his first game in Cleveland. I followed the media through his high school career, through the draft, watched the first game in Cleveland, you know, so there was a lot of emotional attachment there for somebody to, you know, stick to their guns. And I mean, obviously he was drafted to the Cavs, and that was one of the greatest things that ever happened to the Cavaliers organization.
The greatest thing that ever happened to the Cavs organization.
Yeah, or Cleveland sports in general.
Exactly.
If you want to phrase it that way.
Yes, 100%.
But when he left, I was upset. I wasn't as upset as these guys going out in the street and burning their jerseys and doing the stupid shit on social media and all this other stuff. But when he came back, you know, I'm obviously happy. I mean, even when he was in Miami, I was still kind of following him because
too good
he's
not
a hometown person.
He's too good not to.
Right.
Yeah.
And, I mean, there was some happiness there that he was, you know, pulling down championships in Miami and still, you know, excelling in his career and getting MVP votes for this, you know, throughout those seasons and some of those. And, I mean, he's always still, regardless of where he was at, he's always still had a focus on North Central Ohio, this area. He has tons of great charities, great foundations, helping kids go to college that are not going to go otherwise. And, I mean, I think all around he's a great person. If he leaves this time, I'm not going to be as upset as I was the first time around because, I mean, like we've discussed several times already, it's a business decision. He's got to do what's best for him, what's best for his family, what's best for his legacy. So if he leaves, you know, I'll still follow him wherever he goes. You know, keep tabs on him. I'm not going to religiously watch games if he's in a Lakers uniform or a Sixers uniform, but, you know, he'll still have that attachment to this area. He's still going to make news in the area we live in, so.
100%. Yeah. So, I remember watching. So, my feelings on LeBron prior to the 2010 decision, I was a little on the fence about him. I loved him as a basketball player and what he was doing for the city and everything like that. But as a person, he seemed kind of like a dick. Like, he just seemed like he seemed entitled and kind of just had this attitude about him I was picking up where it was kind of like, I'm LeBron, I'm the biggest thing in the world, and, you know, F you guys, right? And it was kind of weird. Like, I had this feeling that he was, like, too big for Cleveland almost, which, I mean, Cleveland's a small market. And so I can understand that, like, LeBron could go to New York or L.A. and carry the market and the spotlight, and it's perfect for him. So it was kind of weird to have him here. And I don't know if it was just, like, the Cleveland in me where it was like, you're too big to be here, you're going to leave or whatever. But I didn't really think during the decision that he was actually going to leave. I felt like once we found out he was having that press conference, that meant he was staying here and that he was going to announce that and just kind of put his foot down and say, hey, guys, like, I'm Cleveland, I'm Akron, I'm Canton, I'm Ohio, I'm staying. And he didn't. He did the opposite and took off. And so I was pissed. I was on the fence, like I said, with him as a person. And I was telling people, you know, I'm like, if he stays and he stays loyal to the Cavs, like, he'll forever be my favorite athlete. And I'll be the next day I'm buying a LeBron jersey, right? Like, I'm all over that. And he booked it. He left. And so I was a little miffed. I wasn't, like, as miffed to these people burning jerseys, but I thought, man, that was a dick thing to do. The way you did it, like, we all supported you from the time you were at St. V in high school and then all the way up through. And you're a fantastic athlete, world-class, one-of-a-kind, greatest of the generation, you know, all that, right? And you deserve the ability to do these things, but I felt like you owed the Cavs, you owed Cleveland, you owed the fans at least a gradual letdown, you know, or an explanation, rather than just bailing, right? The way it happened was just so shitty. And it's hard because, you know, you're never going to please everybody. But at the same time, like, you're cutting ties with all these people who have this emotional bond with you from the time you were in high school, you know, all the way up till now. And as much as you technically don't owe anyone anything, all these people are looking up to you in this area because you are, because of your athletic achievements and your off the court achievements, right? So it was hard. He left, the Cavs sucked, surprise, comes back. And for some reason, you know, I was always a little miffed about him, but then when he came back, I was all over it. Like, I was happy he was back. And that letter that they wrote, like, it was well done. And to me, that was kind of enough to see that LeBron had matured as a person and realized, like, I was kind of shitty when I left. And maybe there's a lot going on, again, behind the scenes that, like, you know, the average fan isn't aware of when he left the first time, which is fine. But, like, the way that he just kind of cut everybody off in the area and just took off, it was just kind of shitty. So then when he came back with that letter that he wrote in Sports Illustrated, it was awesome. It made me really happy that he came back. And it took me a little while to warm up to him being back just because, you know, he left on such uneven terms. But I never felt like he owed Cleveland a championship. I never felt like he owed us anything. He came back, delivered on a championship, which is fucking awesome. Broke the curse. You know, that's huge, right? And I hope he stays. I hope they find a way to reshape the Cavs and make us, you know, continue to be a basketball powerhouse. But again, basketball is my third favorite of the big three sports. So I'm not going to lose any sleep over it if he leaves, but I don't know. I just, I wish that he would, I hope that he stays, and I hope the Cavs can work something out where we can rebuild our team and reshape our roster. I know there's a lot of good free agents hanging out there right now. So if we have a way of wheeling and dealing, anything is possible, but I'm probably 70-30 he's leaving. So 70% chance he's out.
Yeah, that's probably where I'm at. And I selfishly, I'm sure the city of Cleveland in general is hoping he doesn't leave, because I've read interesting articles in the past where they show how much a dominant player like LeBron can bring to just the overall business in that town and how much money they bring into the city because of the draw, the attention, all of the local business that thrives from somebody like that being on your organization and being in your city and bringing people out to, people are going out to eat, they're going out to bars and everything. That, you know, that drastically suffers when somebody like that leaves, so.
Yeah, it does. I mean, it's going to be a big hit because, like, we don't have anybody to replace him, you know. Your biggest star left over is Kevin Love, which they'll ship him out, I'm sure, because they're going to go in a full-on rebuild mode if he leaves. So you're left with no one. Like, you have a faceless organization at that point. So you go from being to the top to the bottom real fast, and it sucks. But, you know, it's going to happen. You know, the only thing you can hope for is to build a team the way the Warriors did. You know, they got lucky and lucked into Steph Curry because he was having some issues with the team he was with, and then he ended up at Golden State, turned into being a hell of a player, and then you've got Kevin Durant decided to join the team. But before that, you had, you know, you drafted, like, Clay and Draymond, and these guys start coming together and clicking, and before you know it, you have a system you built of really good basketball. And for us, we need a coach that can do that, right? Like, that's the need if LeBron leaves. You need a coach who can make a team out of a bunch of nobodies and turn them into somebodies and create that system that works like Golden State did, right? You know, they're the ones who pioneered the small ball. They went, took it and ran with it, right? And then all of a sudden, you know, you got these guys who just knock down shots from anywhere on the floor and spread you so thin. And then that's what everyone else is trying to do now. So it was just kind of, it's kind of interesting. I'm curious to see how this all plays out. I'd like to know sooner than later, right? I wished he would have sat down last night and said what he was doing right after the game. I do not like, though, when they'll ask him, well, what's your plan or whatever, and he'll say, I have no idea. Really?
Not
an idea? You're not thinking about it? You're full of shit. You've thought about it. You have an idea of what you want to do. You just don't know how it's going to go down just yet.
I wouldn't expect him to give the answer at a press conference, obviously, like that. Why would he give him that satisfaction?
No, not at all. I mean, he's too big to do that. I mean, he's got a... He can make a whole circus out of this and money on it and everything.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it would have just, like, I don't know. Like, if he was planning to stick around, I wish he would have just said so last night. That would have been kind of cool, but that didn't happen, obviously. I didn't expect it to happen or anything like that, but it just would have been neat if he just put the hammer down on all the rumors and said I'm staying. I wish that would have happened.
Yeah. I wish when one of those reporters would ask him what his plans are, and he would just say something completely sarcastic or, you know, pointed at that guy and say, well, my plans are not to answer your stupid fucking question that you ask every goddamn game. That would be awesome.
Oh, I know. That would be really funny. You know, these guys have to get so sick of hearing the same shit constantly and being badgered about the same old, and they're like, man, just leave me the hell alone.
Yeah, how many analogies can you make up for, you know, we would have won the game if we played better defense and, you know, shot the ball a little bit better. Well, no fucking shit.
Yeah, if the ball went in the basket more than theirs, we would have won. Revelation.
That's the greatest thing about sports is that they have to come up with some kind of colorful answer to the same exact questions every game, every race, every whatever.
Oh, I know.
Oh, God.
Yeah, it gets old after a while, but, you know, what are you going to do?
Do you think anything is going to happen with officiating in the off season? Because, you know, I hate those people that say, oh, it was the official's fault and this and that, but there was some blatant, you know, missed calls or calls that should have never happened in this series.
Yeah, like when you get tackled by two guys while you're trying to run to the basket, like that's typically a foul that just didn't get called for whatever reason. Like, yeah, shit like that's got to change. I don't know how you change it, but they've got to do something about that because it's starting to get absolutely ridiculous.
Yeah. You have Steph Curry last night. I didn't turn on the game until probably partway into the second quarter. Yeah, I watch highlights from his first quarter where he's dropping threes. Mm-hmm. He is purposely jumping into guys to draw a foul.
But you're allowed.
Attempt to a four-point play.
You're allowed. You're allowed. That's a rule. That rule needs to change. Stupid. Van Gundy was going nuts about it the one game, and I said this. I've been saying this forever. The point of the game is not to get fouled, right? That's not the purpose. The purpose is to shoot the ball and make a basket and defend from the other guy making his basket, right? But on mm-hmm. the flip side of that, you can an offensive player should not be allowed to initiate contact with a defensive player for the sake of trying to get an and one.
No.
It's just not fair. Because if I'm going up straight up and down, trying to block your shot, and then you lean forward, like, how do you defend that? You don't. You literally do not defend that. It's impossible. No. And if the refs are going to call it that night, good luck, dude. Good luck. Because that's just fucking ridiculous. That should not happen. That should not happen at all. It is such a shitty play. It is not within the spirit of the game, in my opinion, to be going around and trying to initiate your own contact.
No. No, not at all. And the Warriors, on tape, if you watch a lot of those replays on those calls where they were scrutinizing what the decision was,
mm-hmm.
the Warriors are terrible at it. They fucking kick their legs out at shots. Like they're a fucking kung fu fighter.
Oh, I know.
Kicking their legs out. They lean into shots. They jump into shots. Durant did it last night. Curry did it last night. Then they called a foul on LeBron when Livingston was under the basket, and there was like, oh, Livingston was just going in to take the shot and make the play, but like you watch it, obviously it's different at real-time speed,
mm-hmm.
but you slow it down, the ball's already coming to the ground, and Livingston, pencil-necked, looking I don't know what, slapping his hands around, he slapped LeBron in the other eye, karate chopped him right in the face.
Yeah.
Throat punch that pencil neck looking dick.
You love your father the devil.
Yeah.
Oh, wait. Here.
I know your mustache is cool.
Livingston.
Yeah, you look pencil thin mustache.
Oh my god. Yeah. There's something about that it just drives me nuts. By the way, Sean Livingston just looks like he needs punched in the mouth. I don't know why.
Yeah. But
there's something about that douchey mustache he's got.
I know your mustache is cool! I'm an Ellie! Yeah!
That's right. He is a Nelly.
Yeah.
There's a lot of Nellies on the Warriors.
Yeah. Yeah, it's one of those things, like, you just, you know, I try not to harp on the officiating when it doesn't go your way as far as, you know, sports go, because it's real easy to blame others when your team just didn't have it. And our team was never going to beat the Warriors in a 7-game series. It just wasn't going to happen.
No.
But there is the possibility that it would with LeBron. And there is the possibility that after a Game 1 upset on the road, that changes things for the Warriors, right? You punch them right in the mouth on Game 1, boom. It's a different series.
Yeah.
And the
momentum shift.
The officials clearly fucked that game over. Several calls. And then at the end of the game, when George Hill was shooting his free throws, Draymond had a lane violation they didn't call. So he should have got mm-hmm. another shot. And we could have won. Right there. In regulation. Without retarded J.R. Smith.
Nope.
So, yeah, I don't know. I don't understand it. I think it's ridiculous. They gotta clean that up. That's the biggest problem with NBA. The officiating can just totally just screw a game over real fast, and then it's just completely just you feel helpless in a way. Like you're watching mm-hmm. this game, you're watching your guys go out there and dominate, and they're like kicking ass, and they're playing so hard and doing so well, and then the officials are just like sucking the life out of them, and you can just watch it happen.
I think it's honestly time for these sports to go to the technology we have today,
mm-hmm.
high-definition cameras, virtual reality, all of this stuff. It's time to have I don't even think we need to have officials on the floor, if you want to be completely and totally honest. We can have a guy sitting in a media booth watching what happens. You can have a virtual whistle stop a play. Mm-hmm. Maybe you need one guy there to stop the play, to set up the foul shots, or to do whatever.
Right.
But you can call a game right down the line, and you take that. I mean, I know there's some emotional swings to the calls, that aspect, but you got to get it right. It's got to be right. If it's going to be fair, I think the officials are a thing of the past. The error of human element, that whole thing needs to go away.
Yeah. The sport I have a hard time with is baseball. I think that the strike zone shit, like right now, how is it that your strike zone can change? Like, I don't understand that. And I don't understand how you can have, you know, one guy call balls and strikes one way and another guy calls them differently. And it's just like,
yeah.
It's so inconsistent. It's like, I mean, I understand it's kind of like the game within a game kind of a thing, but it's just frustrating. It's like, you have a rule, knees to letters or something, you know, that's the strike mm-hmm. zone. Right. And it's like, and then obviously the corners of the plate. Well, when Greg Maddux goes out and starts pitching and the strike zone's 3 inches off the plate, how are you going to hit that?
Yeah, right.
That's a
perfect example to what I'm saying.
Yeah.
They've had the strike zone figured out since fucking 99, 2000 on all of these video games for baseball.
Yeah.
You tell me they can't simulate that in real life? They do it every game. They show you the strike zone right on TV.
Yeah, 100%. They could easily do balls and strikes virtually. I don't disagree at all. I think there's room for like a mix of AI and human element, right? And eventually I think it'll all be taken over by AI doing this stuff at some point. I wouldn't be surprised if the NBA is the sport that does it first. They're always the ones who I feel like are always innovating. You know, I feel like baseball will be the last because they're always stuck in the past for some reason, even though they're probably the prime candidate for this type of technology. I think it would be amazing to have AI calling balls and strikes. So then you know exactly what's what. And then you have a person there that if the system fails, they can call balls and strikes as a human, you know, for some reason, if you have an issue. So I think that it would be really awesome if we went there. We shouldn't, there's no reason why balls and strikes couldn't be automated for sure. I personally, the other thing I hate is so in baseball, they try to implement instant replay and they do it on stolen bases all the time. And the thing that really pisses me off about that is when you're stealing a base and you're running full speed and you've got this little tiny square you need to land on and you slide and then your leg comes up just a little bit and your stomach's over the base. And so you're on your hands just trying to hold yourself up. You give yourself a half an inch of space off the bag, and then you get called out, like, on instant replay because you slid too hard. Mm-hmm. And it's like, I don't think that's the spirit of instant replay. Like, if you blatantly, like, overslide the bag where you, like, go flying off the bag and get tagged, that makes sense to me. But, like, I do not like how you will watch a guy slide real hard and he's actually on the base and hovering the base, you know, like he's completely consuming that base. But in the process, his like stomach goes to go over the bag and you kind of like lift your stomach up a little bit. Cause you know, you don't want to get hit in the nuts by the bag. And so, you know, you kind of like lift your body up a little bit and try and catch the corner with your foot. And then they'll call him out on instant replay. But in real life, you didn't even notice that it happened because it was going so fast. Like that's the kind of stuff I'm not a fan of. Like, you know, the guy's on the base. In my opinion, he's safe. He hit that. He got the base. He got there before the ball. He didn't like really aggressively overslide the bag. You know, just more of like the process of just coming to a stop. And in my opinion, you've reached base safely. That was the point. Like, you got there. I'm not going to scrutinize you. I could 90% of guys on instant replay. I could call them out if they hold the tag on the whole time.
Yeah.
Stuff like that drives me crazy. It's like, how can you let that be part of the game? It's not realistic to expect somebody's body to not come off the bag to some degree. Right. You know, like there's more that needs to go into that decision than calling them out just because their body briefly left the base during an instant replay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there has to be a little bit of middle ground, but I think critics will say, well, if you want the instant replay, you got to live with the result. So,
yeah, I don't like it on stolen bases.
Yeah.
And the umpires in the MLB seem to get it right more than they don't. I don't really have a problem with them. They're pretty good. Balls and strikes is where it's big, right? When you're doing that every single pitch, you're calling balls and strikes. So you're more likely to have more issues. But like when they call out and safe on like bang bang plays at first base and stuff, they're pretty damn good at getting that call. They're really good at it. Better than I would be. But you know, it's just, that's the thing. I don't feel like the intent of instant replay is to call people out on oversliding bases. You know, I guess I missaid that too. Like, not necessarily oversliding bases, but sliding too hard where your body just slightly comes off the base while you're, I mean, you blatantly are on the bag. Like, you got it. You were safe. You landed on, like, in instant replay, I can see that little tiny smidgen of air underneath your leg, and then I call you out. I don't like that. I don't think that's good. Like, and if I watch that happen in real time and I didn't call you out, I don't think I should go back and call you out for that part of it later. Now, if you fell off the base or something because you slid too hard and you completely went over the bag and then you're trying to get back to the base kind of thing, yeah, obviously call them out.
Right. There has to be a distinction between legitimately something happening and then your momentum during the play caused that to happen.
It
has to be spelled out, but...
Yeah, I would like umpire discretion on something like that, honestly.
Yeah. Back to the NBA, something has to happen there. It was so bad. So bad.
It was awful. It was really awful. I don't understand it. I don't know. It just pisses me off to think about how bad it was. I watched the first three games, and the game three wasn't bad. Although I missed the beginning, and I guess in the first quarter, we didn't go to the free throw line one time.
Yeah.
And Dan Gilbert tweeted a picture of the box score where it showed that the Warriors went like 12 times and we went 0 times.
Yeah.
And it's like, how's that happen when you have LeBron barreling to the basket? So I don't know. Who knows?
I haven't been on Twitter this morning yet, but that'd be interesting to see what he says about the game, the series in general, and the state of the Cavs. I don't know if he'll come out for an official release for the season. I think he normally does, but it'll be interesting to see what his thoughts are.
Yeah, I'm curious to hear it. I don't know. It was just frustrating. There's a lot that was a lot left to be desired from the officiating. But the Cavs, I mean, honestly, if you really self-reflect, they didn't have a chance. They didn't have a chance.
No.
They were done.
No, you take the starting five for each team and line them up next to each other, and it's just glaringly obvious what's going to happen. Yeah, you don't have to know anything else other than that.
No, it was LeBron versus the Warriors.
Mm-hmm.
And that was it. Do you think the outcome would have been different had we had Kyrie Irving still?
No.
I don't think
Kyrie was enough to balance things out.
I don't either. I think he was too much of a liability on defense. I mean, he was amazing on offense, but I mean, they just have more. They have more, you know.
Now, for game one and the momentum we had and going right to the wire, I think we could have won game one with Kyrie. Put Kyrie in shooting the free throws.
Well, you don't have George Hill. George Hill came because of Kyrie. So many dominoes that fall because of that, and dudes that are here because of that, that we wouldn't have had. It would have been a totally different trading deadline, you know? I don't know. It's fascinating. I wonder if we had kept Kyrie, if we would have shipped Kevin Love out of here by the trade deadline.
Be a good possibility too. I mean, if they would have restructured Kyrie's contract to keep him happy, and I don't know that he would have stayed regardless though, because he wanted to be the guy. He wanted to be the number one guy, and he was never going to be number one guy with LeBron there.
Right. Yeah. Well, you know, you're not really doing much as a number one guy when you're having knee surgery and you're out injured all the time either. So.
Right.
I don't know. I mean, good luck to Kyrie. I wish we still had him. I don't really have any hard feelings over it, but it is what it is at this point.
Yeah, we'll see what happens next season. I, season obviously didn't end the way I wanted it to, but and no. Like you said, basketball's probably my number three sport. So
Yeah. I'm more about the Indians making a run here if we can figure out our bullpen. That's what I'm about. By the way, I'm in second place in my baseball fantasy league.
NBA might actually be fourth, because I know you're not a huge college football fan, but for me it's probably NFL, baseball, then college football, then the NBA, but that's just me.
Yeah, I'm baseball first, NFL second, NBA, and then college football. I just don't care about college football because there's so much turnover, and like, I also don't feel an attachment to a school. I'm in Northeast Ohio, you know, so the closest school I have is Akron.
Right.
And they suck, and they're a MAC team. Go Zips. I don't know. I just never got attached. I just don't care about college sports. There's too many teams and divisions, and I just never cared. If the Buckeyes do, like, make a run and they start doing something where they're going to, you know, compete for, like, the college football championship or something, you know, I'll watch the games then. I also don't like, especially college football, how the scheduling is done. I think it's absolutely ridiculous that a team like Ohio State will play a team like Akron. Many times during the season they do games like that, and it's like, what is the point of this? Like, they're just going to roll the Zips, and they're just pumping up their points in the point system so they can get a higher seeding in the playoffs or whatever, you know, and they used to do all the other shit for those points and whatever, but it was just stupid. Like, in my opinion, these schools that are that good, like Ohio State and Alabama and all those teams, you know, these top tier, top echelon teams need to play each other during the season.
I totally agree. They shouldn't be playing anybody outside of the top 25 season.
No, what are you doing? Like, why is Ohio State playing unranked teams? Like, this is ridiculous. It doesn't make any sense. I don't like that. I think it's stupid. It's a waste of my time. Like, if I know that, I know before the game starts that barring some catastrophic failure, the Buckeyes are going to roll this team by 40 points, I'm not even going to watch it. Why would I watch that? It's a waste of my time. Yeah. I don't care.
I mean, on the flip side of that, I know why those schools want to play the Buckeyes, because they get
payday
for them. They get huge payouts. So.
Well, yeah, the Buckeyes say, I'll pay you a shitload of money so that you can play us, so that we can pad our score and you make money. I mean, yeah, it's a total business deal, and it's ridiculous, and it hurts the integrity of the sport, in my opinion, but apparently no one else agrees with me because college football is huge. I think it's ridiculous. I don't understand it at all.
No. No, I agree with you. It is ridiculous. They shouldn't be playing some 3A team from the middle of nowhere.
not to
discredit the MAC conference, because Akron and Toledo and Bowling Green, all those teams are really good. But
yeah, they're good for MAC teams. Good. Where they should be playing each other. Like, there should be no reason that, you know, Ohio State plays a team that is so bad compared to them on purpose. You know, they should be playing other teams that are like Alabama and Penn State and Wisconsin, and, you know, these teams, that should be the schedule every single week. There should never be a team on there that is like that bad.
Right.
It just shouldn't happen.
Shouldn't be playing the Fighting Rainbows of Hawaii.
No. That's just for a trip to go play in Hawaii.
Yeah, that's vacation time.
Urban Meyer's vacation day.
Yeah, not that he needs it, as much money as that guy gets paid.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, so I don't know. I think that's a little ridiculous that they schedule those kinds of games with other conferences and stuff. That's where I got lost. It was like, okay, great, good story. This is stupid. It's a waste of my time. I'm probably one of the few people who treat it that way, but I treat most sports that way. I love baseball. I've stopped watching most of the regular season. I just don't have time. There's too much going on where I can't spend all day watching sports. I just don't have the time for it. But when they're important games, I'll sit down and watch.
Yep.
And I think that's a good balance, right? Especially now, like, I've got a young kid and, you know, you know, we're busy doing stuff, and so, you know, he needs my time. That's way more important than watching sports. But I know a lot of guys who are like, no, sports are on, I'm watching sports.
Yeah.
And then they go ignore their families. It's like, yeah. Okay. Well, when your kids are a little older, it's different. But, like, when they're little kids, you know, they need your attention. They need your one-on-one. Your wife needs your attention. Like, you know, you got to give everybody a little love.
Yep. And, yeah, I'm the same way. And to be completely transparent, I have no idea where the Indians are in the standings. I haven't even checked.
Yeah. I believe they're first in the Central because the Central's terrible. And they've been on a pretty good roll lately. And I've got... actually a bunch of Indians on my fantasy team because they're good. So I have I built my team around Kluber, Carrasco, and Bauer.
Three pretty good guys to have on your team.
Yeah, they've been carrying me. So the Tribe is five games up in the Central. They just beat Detroit last night with a walk-off three-run home run by Mr. Kipnis.
Nice.
Or, I'm sorry, I don't think it was a walk-off, but a late-inning three-run homer saved him. Got my boy Bauer the win. Pitched eight innings. Go ahead.
I was going to say, I did see some guys on our Twitter account for the show last night, you know, trying to put a positive spin on the basketball game and said, hey, the Indians did win today. So trying to keep a little bit of... spirits up there.
That's right, yeah. Well, you know, I mean, you gotta do what you gotta do, right?
Mm-hmm.
Keep your eye on the prize. The Tribe's gonna have a hell of a run if they're gonna make it, though. But whoever comes out of the AL's gotta win the World Series this year, I imagine.
Yeah.
You've got...
also.
Well, you've got Cleveland, Houston, Boston, and New York.
Mm-hmm.
Those four teams, I mean, the playoffs are gonna be brutal.
So I was getting ready to say postseason's going to be interesting.
Oh, man, I can't wait. If we stay healthy, I mean, we have the pitching to be in any one of these series. New York scares me. I wanted them last year. I regret playing them last year. I wanted to beat their ass last year, but we just did horrible. I did hear Kluber had some kind of injury, but no one knew about it as well, supposedly. And that's why he pitched like garbage in the playoffs. So I don't know. I don't know how true that was, but that was a letdown for me when we got bounced in the first round by the Yankees. I felt like we had the pitching to take them and just enough offense to beat them, but nope.
These guys and their injuries and why they hide them. I understand why.
Well, when you're Kluber, LeBron James, you know, those kind of guys, you got to play. You know, if Kluber didn't go out and pitch, people are going to be like, oh, what a pussy. Why isn't Kluber out there? Quit being such a pussy. So, I mean, I don't know.
What's amazing is the fact that you are that entertaining when you still wear llama penises strapped to your head.
I had no way to get that in where it made any sense, but that made me laugh so hard when I found that clip this morning.
Llama penises.
You gotta love The Rock, man.
Oh man, The Rock.
Yeah. I gotta play a couple of these Rock sounds real quick just because I need to laugh.
Who is he saying that to?
I think he's saying that to New Day, maybe. It's like a new tag team, newer. I don't know. I don't really follow most of the new stuff, but I'm pretty sure that's who it was. It was three dudes wearing like these unicorn like hat things that, I don't know, they had like these headbands with like a giant unicorn horn strapped to the top of them. Hold on.
What's amazing is the fact that you are that entertaining when you still wear llama penises strapped to your head.
Oh my god, that was so funny.
I think New Day is that group that they come out playing instruments and crazy shit too. I watch it kind of on a hit and run basis, so
yeah. Hold on, I don't know if this one, I cut these so early this morning I don't remember how it goes, but this one was pretty funny.
Okay, I know the answer to that. 2 plus 2, Thomas Jefferson, sucker.
Oh my god. Some of the Rock had me like, I was in tears laughing this morning. Some of the shit that guy said, he was so funny. Wait, let's check this one.
You run around here looking like a big fat bowl of fruity pebbles.
Those are good. I watched like a whole like 10-minute montage and cut up a few of those quotes. But some of them are just absolutely amazing. There's this one, but I don't think it's as funny. It's funnier if you listen to the whole promo, but you know, obviously you're not going to do that in a sound clip. But this one.
But my name's Billy. It doesn't matter what your name is.
That's what he cut. He cuts a promo on, I think, Badass Billy Gunn.
Yeah.
And he says, Billy Gunn, you're going to pray to God. Dear God. Blah, blah, blah. And then and God says, Bob? He's,
but my name's Billy.
But my name's Billy. It doesn't matter what your name is.
He was so good. So funny.
You could do a whole soundboard on just The Rock.
Absolutely. All right, man. Well, I think it's time to go. Go eat some breakfast here. You know.
Yeah.
Oh, for crying out loud! I said bacon and eggs.
It is bacon and eggs time.
I'm a human, and I'm coming. I like to eat. I like to eat. I like to fight too.
It's off the rails at this point.
Yeah, quickly disintegrating at this late hour.
That's right, that's right. Yep. So, alright man, well, I say that's a wrap. Congrats, yep. Cavs, good season. Love you guys. Hope LeBron stays. Anyhow, well, I think that'll do it. So don't forget to follow us on Twitter. We have become very active on the @Podwhackers Twitter account. Talking shit to anyone and everyone we can find just for fun. And, you know, go rate us in iTunes. Subscribe to our show. Give us some love. Give us some feedback. I think we're going to try and start pumping out a couple episodes a week. You know, get this shit rolling. Add in some segments. Throw in some good comedy in here. So,
yep.
Stay tuned, everybody.
Yep, and I will have my alarm set next time around.
Yeah, jerk.